Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. With WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick, and this week our focus is on Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam. And Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Good morning, and thank you, Jonathan, for joining in with me today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And you have been the dog warden here in Holmes County for quite a while. How long has it been?
This October will be 10 years that I've been the dog warden.
It's been 10 years already?
It's crazy to think that, but yeah, it's been 10 years and it's flown by.
And how did you get into the dog warden position?
So I graduated from Ashland University with a degree in criminal justice and sociology. Not sure exactly what I wanted to do with my career. And I came back home here after college and started working at a lumber mill. And I applied for the Holmes County Jail. And kind of around the same time, someone let me know about the opening at the dog warden's position. And I applied for that. And then, yeah, the commissioners decided to go my direction. So that's kind of how I got hooked up with it.
So with the coming up of 10 years, that's a whole decade. How have you seen the position change from when you started to where we are now?
To be honest with you, I had this conversation with somebody the other day. Just by far the biggest change is the things that we do on a daily basis. It used to be, I used to sit in the office and wait for the phone ring, and it didn't ring very often. But now it rings all the time. We have staff that are always hustling and bustling about, and we're always improving, number one, the care for the dogs, number one, the service to the community, and the tasks that we perform. By far the biggest changes, and not to mention the improvements we've made to the building that we have right now.
And you've increased the amount of staff you have.
Absolutely. So I think the number of dogs that we take in has increased over the years, mm-hmm. The number of tasks that we perform on a daily basis. And obviously with those increases, staff needed to be increased as well.
And have you seen with the increase in all of the things that you guys are doing an increase in care for the animals in Holmes County and what we're able to do to help them?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we take a very educational stance on things, and we're always trying to provide education to the public. And we have seen, you know, huge turnarounds in like dogs running at large and animal welfare issues being resolved via education and things people just didn't know. Not to mention, I think that when you look at the donations that we receive on a weekly, monthly basis from, you know, members of our community, it's huge. I think that we've really taken something that, you know, not a lot of people knew about to, like, the whole community kind of knows who we are and what we do.
And along with the donations from the community, you have a lot more volunteers than you used to.
Absolutely. We started our volunteer program, I'm thinking it was 2019. I can't quite remember the exact year where we started having people come in and walk dogs. And we have a consistent group of people that now come in, and we're ensuring that these dogs get out of their kennels at least one, if not two times a day, just for that mental, physical stimulation to help with their behavior and improve their adoptability.
And you guys do what you can to care for the dogs that come in. Unfortunately, sometimes some are in too bad a health to help, and sometimes you get dangerously overfilled. There's a lot going on in your building.
Yes, there's always a lot going on. You know, these dogs are not just coming in and being forgotten about and being euthanized. That's, I think, the biggest thing to point out is that we have maintained a 90% live release rate since I've been on board as a dog warden, maybe even a couple years before that, that we've 90% of the dogs that come in leave in their home, go back to their owners, or they get adopted, or they get rescued out. In my 10 years, we have not euthanized once for space reasons. We have a huge community that backs us, and when we need help, they step up and they help us when we get to those types of situations.
So you've been close at least a couple times recently because of so many dogs coming in.
Yeah, it's been hairy. We had, the highest number of dogs we've had at one time that I can remember is 24, and we have 14 kennels. So we had dogs in the adoption room. I had a dog in my office. It's just, and we don't have a lot of room to put crates and put more dogs in. So it's one of those, though, we have 14 kennels, and like those 14 kennels are already like there's really no more room to put other dogs other than in crates in our adoption rooms or in the lobby or places because we have a small building.
And that limits what you can do then. One thing that Holmes County does pride itself on is how the community helps each other in situations, and your office is no different.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, social media, like people getting on there, they might not think that it helps, but it absolutely does. I mean, you share it with somebody, they share it with somebody, and, you know, all your friends see it that, like, hey, we need help, or, hey, this dog, you've been looking for a dog like this. You know, they have one available for adoption. And then the cry for donations, you know, if we need food, whatever we need. A big example would be Honey, the dog that had her jaw ripped open last year that we took in. No idea what happened to her still to this day, but she came in, was missing part of her jaw, and it was awful. She was torn up. But we did not spend a dime on her medical bills because somebody called, saw her picture, was invested, called, and paid for the bill.
And that's fantastic. That's awesome. And it's great that you guys are willing to take the time to try to get help and just say, this dog's too far gone. We're done. We can't do anything for it.
Absolutely. That's kind of what we've brought to the table. I think that is one of the biggest changes is, like, from what I hear in the past, I mean, dogs come there, they spend the 3 days. If there's nothing lined up for them, they're euthanized. There's been a shift in time and effort that we put into finding a place for these dogs that's not euthanasia, finding a happy tail for these dogs.
Love happy tails. They're a great thing to hear. And so on that note, we want to end positively on this segment. We'll talk more about what all you guys are doing here after this break. We've been talking to Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam, and I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM. Welcome back to Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I am Melissa Patrick with WKLM, and I've been speaking with the Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam, and we've been talking about the Dog Warden's office and what it is they do. And so, Jonathan, let's go ahead and kind of talk about what your office does on a daily basis. Like, what are the daily duties of the dog warden?
So daily duties, honestly, you know, every day we obviously come into the office. There is a variety of tasks that we need to perform. First and foremost, the dogs, evaluate the dogs, make sure they're doing okay, figure out what we need to do next with each dog. Some of them, they might need microchip, they might need put up for adoption, they might need to go see a vet, just kind of evaluate them medically and whatever their needs may be. So somebody will be responsible for making sure the dogs get posted online as available, and somebody's going to be in charge of doing their adoption write-ups, getting those online as well. Then obviously there is a whole other side of it. We have to do the kennel cleaning. So someone has to clean the kennels inside and out, make sure the dogs get feed, water, things like that, get their stimulation toys, whether it be a lick mat or a peanut butter Kong, something to that effect. And then obviously there's a road side of things too. So we're looking for any calls that have come in that we need to handle, whether it's a stray dog pickup, whether it's a complaint, whether it's a dog bite that came in that we have to do an investigation on. And then whether it's licensing patrols, license checks, things like that, a livestock investigation, if someone lost some livestock due to a dog or coyote, we handle that as well. So that all goes into it. And obviously management stuff as far as making sure the shelter has what it needs to run smoothly and efficiently, making sure that our equipment's up to date, things like that. And yeah, it's basically in a nutshell kind of what we do. Obviously answering the phones is big because you never know what call is going to come in at any point during the day. And I think that's one of the things that I like most about the job is that no day is the same. It's like when someone calls in, you don't know what they're going to have.
What kind of surprise is in store for
like,
you?
Yeah, it's like, okay, the phone's ringing. I'm going to answer it. What's going on?
Because a lot of what you guys do, along with the dogs in, the dogs out, is a humane aspect of the dogs in our county.
Absolutely. So, like, you know, we try to bring everybody along for the ride by using our social media page. So I feel like a lot of road stuff doesn't get posted, but a lot of like how we handle ourselves within the shelter. I feel like we're trying to be as fully transparent as possible with, like, you know, you see, you know, staff, you know, spending time with the dogs. We actually do spend time with the dogs, and we actually do get to know them because that helps us be able to tell people about them. We're kind of like salespeople when it comes to getting these dogs homes, you know, like we're not going to try to sell you something and like hide the truth. We're going to be transparent. We're going to try to tell you everything that we know about this dog, everything that we personally have experienced about this dog, to try to find it the best fit and see if it's the best fit for you. So we actually do spend time with our dogs. We actually do get them out. When we take the photos and videos and we do the write-ups, we know, you know, we've dealt with these dogs. We haven't, it's not just something that was automatically made up.
Because if you don't get them to the right home, chances are they'll come back to you.
Absolutely. There's always that return rate, just been lowered here in the last few years because of, I think, just people, you know, us being honest. Now we do get people that have unrealistic expectations, or they, you know,
unknown allergies,
or exactly things like that, or you know, we might say that the dog kept the kennel clean, but then they might assume that means the dog is fully house trained, which we never tell anybody it's fully house trained, because we do not know that. So we don't want the dog to come back for that reason. So we always tell people, like, hey, dog might not be house trained, but he keeps a clean kennel, has not messed in the office, that kind of thing. So,
and you mentioned your phone calls. You guys do spend quite a bit of time away from the office and out in the county.
Oh, absolutely. I think we're on complaint number 100 or a little over that. That's complaints. So that's people calling in saying that their neighbor's dog's running at large, or that's been people saying that they feel like there's needs to be a welfare check at this property or this situation. That's not just general calls that we might be called out to do, like stray pickups or other things where we're assisting the sheriff's department or something like that, or license patrols, things like that. That's just people calling and complaining about a situation or a dog.
And those are always surprises too, because you don't know what you're going to get into.
Absolutely. I felt like one of the surprises about the job when I started is, like, I thought, like, I was the first, like, one of my first or second calls, I was law enforcement, I was a psychiatrist, I was, like, a social worker, I felt like I was, like, a mediator, I felt like all these things.
You felt a little unqualified.
A little unqualified, exactly. So, like, you know, it was just, yeah, surprising to me. Is like, well, I was trying to make her feel better, but I was trying to enforce the law, like, and try to find, like, hey, what can work here?
And so that, I'm sure, has only grown over time on what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. So, like, I feel like when I started, we were doing things a certain way. And I was like, okay, well, how can we do things better so that, you know, not just the complainant is happy, but also the person who is being complained on is happy. And they're going to be educated enough that where they know what they're required to do. So we've kind of taken this, like, this theory
teacher
that
role.
Yeah, teacher role. Like, we're a badge and we're showing up at your house, but we're not just going to stand there and yell at you and tell you what to do. We're going to help you do what you need to do and educate you, try to give you the resources that are going to help you do that.
So you get the best outcome for everybody possible.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, we need our community to be able to successfully do what we need to do and to get everyone compliant with the Ohio Revised Code.
That's always the end goal, is keeping everybody out of trouble. So that's, you know, it's great to know what you're doing inside the kennel and outside the kennel. And we'll have more with Jonathan Beam, the Holmes County Dog Warden, here on Focus Fridays on WKLM after this. We are back here on Focus Fridays on WKLM with Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam. For WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick. And we've talked about all the different duties and responsibilities and things that you're doing as the dog warden. And I think one of the things that folks don't realize is how you're funded, where you're getting the money for the office to run from.
Absolutely. I feel like this is a good educational opportunity for that. So we get a lot of, like, you know, people saying that they're taxpayer dollars and what they're going for, and they're going for the dog warden's office, when that's not really the case in our situation. So in the Ohio Revised Code, there is a fund set aside called the Dog and Kennel Fund, and that is primarily what our offices run on. So that's our budget. And what makes up that budget is revenue generated from dog license sales as the primary. So all the dog license sales goes into that fund, which then helps us run the kennel. Now, we do have some secondary sources of income, such as, like, you know, when we write a ticket for a dog running at large or a license issue, something like that, we get the revenue for that in our fund. And then, like, adoptions, impound fee sales, things like that, that also goes into our fund. Now, I say secondary means of income because we don't really focus on those two as the primary, because we're not going to jack up our adoption fees to be unreasonable so that we can be funded better, and we're not going to go out writing tickets for every infraction to get our revenue up either. We focus primarily on licensing and increasing the license sales so that we can be funded. We don't receive money like from the general fund or like the commissioners to operate our budget or operate the shelter. It's all coming from that dog and kennel fund.
And by licensing your dog, you're helping to fund your office, but also have a better outcome for your dog. So it's a win-win situation.
Absolutely. It's a win-win. Like we really truly do try to work hard for our community. We understand that, like, you know, it's an inconvenience to buy a dog license, but like, I'm pretty proud of like our facility and the way we operate so that I can say like, hey, your money's being put to good use here. Like, our primary goal is to serve you and to serve your dogs and to make our community a better place. And we have the equipment that we need because of funding. You know, we don't want a dog shelter that doesn't have any of the equipment it needs or doesn't have the resources it needs to do a good job. It's like, I kind of tell people this, that like this theory, like, okay, if your dog goes missing, which if it hasn't yet, it will run away and it may end up at the pound.
They're curious creatures.
Absolutely. So it will happen. We've had people say, oh, it never happened before. Well, it'll happen. And do you want your, you know, dog going somewhere that's deep, dark, scary, like, you know, not a good place, that's run down, that's junky, doesn't have the things you need? Or do you want them to go to a place where, you know, you can feel that they're safe, they're cared for, they're loved like, you know, they're this other person's pet, you know?
You guys do have some of the most caring deputies. You always see you and all of them in the pictures and the videos loving on the dogs, and that's not just for show.
That is not for show. So that is an actual thing. Like, there's dogs that hang out with us in the office. Like, there's dogs we spend time with. Like, it's a thing. We get to know our dogs there.
And while you are not funded by the commissioners, you do work closely with them because you do need them to approve certain things. And they do help occasionally with some bigger projects.
Absolutely. They're always on my team. They're always on our team. We always, you know, bring things to them. And they're always going to make sure that we have what we need to do a good job to serve our community.
And so that relationship is just as important as all the other ones you have in the community.
Absolutely.
On that note, learning about the funding is very important, so you know where everything's coming from. We'll go ahead, take another break, and we'll be back with more with Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam on Focus Fridays here with Melissa Patrick on WKLM. We are back with Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam here on Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM, and we've been talking all about the duties and where the funding comes from. And we kind of tiptoed through the tulips on the humane aspects of what the dog warden does. And the dog warden's office and the Humane Society are different, but you work together.
Yeah, so we worked together for sure. So back in 2016 or 2017, you know, we were getting a bunch of welfare calls. And as dog wardens, there's nothing in the Ohio Revised Codes that says we have authority to investigate animal welfare concerns. It's basically licensing and all the things that are in that part of the code section. So we found a kind of a loophole on how we can do that. And then our county can have somebody that's primarily focused on those welfare calls. So we partnered with the Holmes County Humane Society, and all of our employees are appointed humane agents. And we've had our certification through the Ohio Attorney General. And then we are confirmed by the probate court here in Holmes County to be humane agents that are able to investigate these welfare concerns and animal cruelty complaints in Holmes County.
And that's a good thing to have, because not everybody has that opportunity to have that teamwork to take care of the animals.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a teamwork, because we're agents of the Holmes County Humane Society. So, and it's a partnership between the Humane Society, the commissioners, and our department, because we're under the commissioners. So it's a good partnership to have. I think when you're looking at it from this perspective is, you know, we deal with dogs on a daily basis. All of our training that we've had as dog wardens and humane agents is focused on animal welfare and like constitutional rights and things like that. So I think when you're looking at investigating these complaints, you want somebody that has the knowledge and of, you know, what a dog should look like on a BCS scale, or what to look for in these investigations is also important.
And without you guys working together, the dogs in our county would be in a less good way.
Yeah, I believe that strongly. I think that this partnership is benefiting our county greatly and the dogs. And our primary goal is always to make sure that the dogs are being treated humanely.
And you're not out there to just, I think you kind of mentioned a little bit, to just write tickets. Because sometimes things get misconstrued and it may not be what somebody thinks it is. And so you guys are able to make sure everything is on the right, on all the ends.
Absolutely. I think one of the big things that we kind of have to open up is that, you know, we have to have level heads. So what that means is there are 10 different ways to take care of a dog. There are people that their dog is their baby and it's eating dinner at the dinner table, okay? Nothing wrong with that.
Wearing clothes.
Exactly. You're dressing it up, putting shoes on when it goes outside. Like, you know, that's great. Love it. There are also people that have a farm dog and the dog's outside living on the farm. There's people that have dogs tied up and that's their life. They're tied up behind the house. Now, every dog is entitled to the basics, food, water, shelter, adequate, and then that there's no act of cruelty against that dog. And these cases are difficult because you, as investigators, we have to have proof, evidence, that a dog suffered an act of cruelty or is being neglected and it's suffering an act of cruelty. So we have to have evidence. And then people call in and say, like, hey, this dog's being mistreated, and we go out there and everything's fine, or there's, you know, it doesn't meet the letter of the law as far as animal cruelty, like, there may be nothing that we can do in this situation for that dog other than provide educational material on how the dog owner can make life better for the dog.
And sometimes it depends on the dog. Some dogs love being outside in the cold, and people are like, oh, they left the dog outside in the snow for too long. But those dogs live for that. And then there's other dogs that could care less about being out in the snow.
Absolutely. It kind of comes down to the owner knowing the breed. Obviously, with the hot temperatures in the summer, every dog needs water. It's common sense, no brainer. You wouldn't want to be outside without water. So obviously your dog, you know, can't be outside all day without water in this heat.
It's got to be able to get out of the sun. You just have to use common sense. I know one of the things that we talk about here is if you can't put your hand on the ground without it burning you, it's too hot for them.
Yep, exactly. I think you hit it on the head, common sense. I think that in a world that might be lacking common sense, it's like you have to think about it is like the dogs need the basics. They're animals, they're living creatures. They need the basics. They need the food, water, shelter from rain, snow, sleet, sun. You know, if you have a dog box, like, yeah, that dog box is probably insulated and it's probably going to get hot in the summertime. So, like, you have to have the dog box somewhere where it can get out of the sun and the heat.
And so those are the things you guys are trained to look for to make sure that they're reaching those.
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest things, too, that we see is just not being able to care for the dogs, get them the vet care that they need in those situations. It's kind of like, you know, you have a dog, it's a privilege, but you have to be able to provide it with the care that it needs. So that's one of the hardest things to prove is, you know, when we get a skinny dog, was it being abused? Was it being neglected? Or did the owner just not have what they needed to care for the dog?
Everybody may want to have a dog and have that companionship, but it's really something that you need to do the research on, know what kind of dog you're getting, what kind of care it needs, and how much it's going to cost you. You have to budget for a pet, especially a dog.
Yeah, no dog is going to cost you $0. It's gonna cost you something to care for a dog because you got to feed it. You got to be able to provide it the vet care when the time comes if it needs it. And, you know, we express the importance in vaccinating to make sure that it doesn't suffer any big medical things. So.
And spaying and neutering and all the things.
Yep, all the things that go into owning a dog for sure.
Well, this sounds like a good place. We'll hit the 9-pound elephant in the room here in our next segment. And that's been Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam. And for WKLM's Focus Fridays, I'm Melissa Patrick. We are back here on Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick, and I have been chatting with Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam, and we've talked about all the many things that go into the dog warden's office, and we've kind of tiptoed around the big talk about dogs, especially in our area, and that is puppy mills. And that's not something that you guys aren't familiar with.
No, it's definitely not something that we aren't familiar with. Actually, very, very familiar with puppy mills.
And there is a lot of talk that goes around, especially on social media. And so let's kind of set the stage here. What are you guys able to do by the law when it comes to puppy mills?
Okay, so, you know, puppy mills is a term that I think the Humane Society, HSUS, came up with years ago to define a dog breeding facility. And when you look up the definition, it's someone that puts the money aspect over the dog's care, cages stacked on top of each other, dogs living in their own feces and urine, things like that. And then, you know, that's kind of what the definition of a puppy mill is. However, from the general public's perspective, I think that puppy mill is anybody that's breeding, has a large number of dogs and is breeding it. So regardless of which definition, you know, we're looking at, we get involved when there is a welfare concern at a dog breeding facility or dog breeder in Holmes County, whether they're licensed or unlicensed. So anytime that somebody is concerned that there is an act of animal cruelty under the 959 section, we do an investigation.
And you guys have to follow the law. If they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, you can't just say, you can't do this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think the big thing is that, like, they're legally allowed to own as many dogs as they want and breed them and sell the puppies. They just have to do it in a way that's legal. So they have to be licensed properly, whether it's with the USDA, the ODA, or in their county license if they're in Holmes County. And obviously, they cannot be abusing, neglecting their dogs. And some people might say, well, you know, being in a cage its entire life is, you know, would be abusive, or being bred over and over is abusive. And yeah, as it might not be good for the dog's health, but for if we're doing an investigation based on that, we would have to prove that the dog suffered an act of animal cruelty and is being neglected. So like when you look at a dog, you know, is its nails long, or is it matted, or is it living in its own poop and pee? So when we go to these kennels, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for these signs of neglect, as people think that neglect is, you know, matting, not being groomed, living in their own poop and pee, skinny, their weight, their teeth, other things like that, that show that the dog is not being cared for. And then we run into that, they, you know, where they might be putting the money over the dog's health.
And you guys are not supermen, as much as you may be heroes to many of these pets, but you don't know where all of the dogs and the puppies are in the county. It's not until somebody gives a complaint and you guys can step in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if somebody is concerned about something, like, you can always call the dog warden's office and report it, and we will follow up on it. Now, obviously, if you heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend, like, that's not, we don't have a lot of information there. It's like, if you go somewhere and you see something, please say something. Because number one, we're going to follow up and make sure they're registered properly. And number two, you know, we'll address the welfare concern that's there. And typically, it's been a long time since someone's denied me to walk through their kennel when I'm out there. So we're able to do these investigations and look at the dogs and look at the kennels and look at the, you know, facility.
And I believe you mentioned earlier the Ohio Department of Agriculture, or the Department of Agriculture. How are they involved when it comes to dogs?
So there's a definition for when you have to get a state license. You basically have to have 40 or you have to sell 40 more puppies in a year, and you have to have 6 breeding dogs. Or there's a couple other stipulations. If you sell to like 5 or more dogs to a broker or a pet store, then you have to have an ODA license. And then they do all the requirements. There's cage requirements, there's exercise requirements, there's care requirements. You have to have a vet that you work with, you have to have a veterinary care plan. You have to do all these things, and they do an annual inspection every year to make sure that you're doing all these things. Same goes for the USDA. They do the same thing. I think USDA is if you're selling from out of state, if you're selling dogs out of state. So they do the same thing. They have their own requirements. We don't enforce any of that. So, you know, sometimes people say like, oh, well, they're supposed to do this, this, and this. And it's like, well, yeah, they're supposed to, but that's another agency that's enforcing that. We're looking at animal cruelty laws that we're trained to enforce and to investigate.
And that is something that I think a lot of people do get mixed up. They think, well, they have 100 dogs on their facility, you can go stop them from doing that. And that is somebody else's area that they are enforcing, and you can't step over your boundaries.
Exactly. And it kind of all depends on what the complaint is. If it's a cage size complaint, or if it's like in their crate all day complaint, like those are not I mean, those are not cruelty complaints. Those are more or less like they're not doing what they're supposed to as far as the state goes. Now, if it's like dogs are severely matted, you know, dogs are living in their own poop and pee, that's something that we would jump on and we would investigate, and we'd go out and make sure that that's not the case. So, yeah, those are all things that we would do. And then a lot of it, you know, if there's something we hear about, we let the state know. If there's something the state knows, they let us know. Same with the USDA. If there's something that they know, they let us know. And we kind of work well with the other agencies involved,
because that's important for the care of the dogs in general.
Absolutely. Yep.
So is there anything else we need to clear up when it comes to breeding and dogs?
I think that basically is it. Like, we're never going to let our personal opinions affect the way that we do our job. So if somebody asks me, well, how do you feel about dog breeding and what they're doing with these dogs? And it's like, it doesn't matter how I feel. I look at the law and I do my best to investigate these complaints the way that they should be investigated as what is on paper and is in the ORC. So it really doesn't matter, like, you know, my opinion on the matter. I think one complaint that we get most frequently is when people buy a puppy and then the puppy gets sick after a couple days, they have it, and then the breeder cuts ties with them or doesn't make it right, and then they call and they complain about the puppy and what happened. But, you know, most times it ends up not being anything because we go there and the facility is nice. And I think you have to realize that people are putting a lot of money in their facilities because this, like, they are making a lot of money off of this industry, and they're putting money back into it in their facilities. But in most cases, that does not end up being anything. Puppies do get sick, and it's just kind of a reality that, you know, puppies do die because their immune systems aren't built up yet. So if you buy your puppy and you go to the Bell stores and get gas, fill your car up, get the dog out, walk it through the store, you're making that puppy susceptible to anything that is in there.
So you mentioned, you know, you can't let your feelings get in the way with it, because when you go into court, they want to see the law, not how Jonathan or any one of the deputies feels.
Yeah, and I can tell you right now, every one of my staff is passionate about dogs. So we have to have a switch there that puts ourselves in check, because you don't want somebody that's just walking around acting passionately about something that they feel passionate about and not controlling, you know. There's different ways of looking at things. You know, there's different perspectives. There's different ways, especially in this county, in Holmes County, there's different ways that people care for their animals.
And you have to use your passion appropriately.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. Passionate appropriately. Yep.
All right. Well, now that we've hit the big cloud that kind of hangs over when it comes to dogs in our county, and hopefully we've cleared it and we've found the sunshine there, we're going to take a little break here on Focus Fridays, and we'll be back one more time with Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam here on WKLM. And we are back one last time here on Focus Fridays with Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam. And for WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick. We've talked about all the serious stuff and the duties and the not so fun parts of the job, but there are fun community oriented parts of being the dog warden and the dog warden's office as well.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite parts of the job is working with people and bringing community along for the ride and giving them opportunities to also help us. And one of those ways is we have different events that we do. You know, we have a Barktoberfest coming up this fall, is our next big event that we're going to have for the dogs. We're hoping to have some available dogs for adoption and just some fun activities for people to do, and maybe some vendors there, some food there as well. So, and we always have a costume contest for dogs as well. So if you're wanting to get your dog dressed up or you want to spend money for a costume, the prize is usually pretty good. So bring your dog to that, and that information will be online and on our Facebook page. But we have the Holmes County Fair coming up. That's a week-long thing where we have a booth there and we have a lot of fun stuff going on. A lot of it is on Kids Day, one of our favorite things to do. We did it last year, had a good successes. We are going to be swearing in our youth as junior deputies, and then if they come by, we have a certificate for them. We just ask that they raise their right hand and they agree to some simple things like taking care of their dog properly, licensing the dog, and doing all these things. And then we give them a badge sticker, and then we give them a coupon to get a free ice cream at the dairy barn. So we're excited to do that again this year. We're going to have adoptable dogs there at the fair. You can honestly adopt on the spot, so we'll have all the paperwork, all the things that we need to do the adoption there. Fair board just asks that you don't walk around the fair with the dog once you come in and do the adoption, that you leave. We're going to have t-shirts for sale. We launched a new t-shirt design for this year, so we're going to have some of those for sale and some of the old t-shirts for sale. We have a prize wheel, so if you show up and you want to spin the prize wheel and have different prizes, you can choose from just little things with our logos and things on it as well. Coloring books, two different coloring book options for the kiddos you can pick up. And then one thing we started doing is getting people used to the tools we use. So we'll have a table there set up with our tools and a little stuffed animal. Kids can get hands-on with our tools with our help, kind of show them how the tools are worked, how we humanely handle dogs with care to get them into our vehicles and things like that. So,
and it's also a point where they can come up, they can meet you guys, they can ask questions, they can get to know you, and you know, be open about any questions, concerns that they may have.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are at the fair to answer any questions, concerns. Honestly, we're just there to meet people and show people that, hey, we're out here to make a difference and want to bring everyone along for the ride and want to try to educate as many people as possible.
And I think you were pretty successful last year at getting those dogs adopted as well.
Yeah, we had a good year last year for fair adoption, so I think one of the best we've had. Who knows, we may end up with a litter of puppies come fair time. It's hard to say.
It usually turns out that way, I think.
Yeah, we usually have one puppy or two puppies, so looking forward to that. And then this summer, all of our adoptions are 30% off, so you know, just keep that in mind if you're wanting to add a dog to your family this summer. I think, you know, summer's a perfect time to do it. You know, some people say, well, we got vacations. It's like, okay, well, you know, once school starts and, you know, people are going back to work and things like that, it becomes a little harder. It's like, you know, even if you have a vacation, if you have a couple weeks or you can get the dog acclimated, it's a good time to add a family member because you're not stuck inside. You can go outside, play. You can go to the park, do things with the dog and form that bond with them.
And how long is your summer special running until?
It will be until the end of the fair. So we'll run it through the fair, and then the last day of the fair is when it would end.
So that gives them an opportunity to get that furry friend adopted at the fair for less money.
Absolutely.
And is there anything else that folks need to know about your office and what you do?
I think that's it. Just, you know, call and try to find ways to get involved and obviously promote our dogs. We have a lot of dogs right now. We deal with 450 dogs a year, and we just need homes for them. Don't come in open-minded. Don't come in closed-minded and I want this. You know, we have a dog right now named Beef. He's a pit bull, but I'm telling you what.
He looks so lovable.
He check marks all the boxes. Every one of the boxes is check marked. But because he's a tan and white pity, no one's capitalized on him. He's watched a lot of dogs come and go, but he's probably the best, most well-behaved dog that we have.
And you can always just come and visit the dogs, too, if you can't have a dog.
Yep, absolutely. We have a lot of people that just come in and look. I don't know, they're looking for a dog that talks to them, which is great that they're not coming in looking for something specific. And we're always open during business hours for people to walk through our shelter and see what we got, because we might surprise you.
And you guys are located?
We're located right next to Homes Ready Mix, County Road 349, just outside of town. Address is 5387 County Road 349, Millersburg, Ohio, 44654.
And to call you guys?
You can message us on Facebook, you can email us, or you can call us at 330-674-6301. We try to keep our Facebook active, engaging, so you're more welcome to shoot us a message or comment. We do our best to get back to everybody.
So you guys are making yourself as accessible as possible.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and explaining all of these things about what it is that you do. And hopefully some folks have learned some things today.
Oh, I hope so. I enjoyed my time, and any chance we can get to educate people on what we do and how proud we are to do it. That is great.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
That was Holmes County Dog Warden Jonathan Beam, and for WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick on Focus Fridays here on WKLM, and it's being brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. In next week's edition of Focus Fridays, we'll speak with the Emergency Management Director, Jason Troyer, for the Holmes County EMA. Don't forget to catch Focus Fridays each Friday in the 9 a.m. hour after Hometown News and the Eye on Weather Forecast here on WKLM.